This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Mark Womack, the Sports Information Director for Cedarville University. Mark has been the SID for the Yellow Jackets since 1983, currently serving in his 41st year. Also a Cedarville graduate, he was a four-year member of the men's basketball and golf teams and was inducted into the Cedarville University Athletic Hall of Fame in 2001. Mark was also the 2000 recipient of the Clarence Ike Pearson Award, which recognizes outstanding achievement in the sports information field. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Mark. Well, hey, Mark, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today, sir?
Very good. Trying to stay warm here in Ohio, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on and get to hear a little bit more about you. I'd love to open our conversation today about your history at Cedarville University. And I know you attended Cedarville as a student. You played on both the men's basketball and golf teams, with each going to a pair of NAI national tournaments. I've also heard that in 1981, you made a last second 15-foot shot to seal a win and send the Yellow Jackets to the national tournament. Can you share that story and how all of that unfolded?
Yeah, sure. That was an exciting time. It was also when I was in shape. Yeah, you're going back 43 years. That was my junior year at Cedarville on the men's basketball team. And, you know, to put both sports in context, so your listeners know, you know, when I played golf, the woods were wood. The shafts were metal, and you couldn't hit the ball as far back then. And basketball, you know, it was a different game then, too. Rules were different. No three-point shot, no shot clock, two referees. You have no media timeouts, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing that was interesting about that was back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for players to go the entire 40 minutes. Matter of fact, in the game you're referencing, me and three others played the entire 40 minutes of that game. But it was the NAIA District 22 final. And also for further context, you know, the NAIA, that was pretty tough back then. A lot of those schools have, the really good schools have left to go D2. Some have gone D3. And the NAIA structure, it was a 32-team national tournament. There were 32 districts in the country, and Ohio was its own district. And you had to win your district tournament to go. There were no at-large bids. Wow. So, you know, in theory, you could have the top two or three teams in the country in one district, and only one was going to go. So winning the district tournament was huge. We hosted Defiance College in this game, and ironically, we hosted them the previous year at home. We were the top seed, and they beat us handily in that game my sophomore year. So my junior year, here we have the rematch. Further down the road, when we opened our new facility my senior year, we hosted Defiance a third time. But at any rate, in this game, high scoring first half, I think we were ahead 50-46 at halftime, low scoring second half, go down to the end, we're tied up 78 all, and Defiance stalled for the last 2.5 minutes of the game, and they were called for a traveling violation with 8 seconds to go. And so Coach Callen calls timeout, just get the ball to half court. That took us 4 seconds. So we have 4 seconds left. I was privileged to have on one of my teammates, still a great friend, Eric Mounts, who is still our all-time leading scorer. So Eric had 30 points in that game, and I'm sure the whole gym thought he was going to get the ball. And he always took the ball out of bounds on our sidelines, out of bounds play. And everybody did their normal thing, but Coach Callen in the huddle during timeout, he didn't hesitate. He said, I was going to take the last shot. I ran my role in reverse. I started up high, came down low, and I wasn't very good going one-on-one with a player in my face, but I just remember catching the ball, one dribble, jumping as high as I could, which wasn't real high, and got up and hit the shot. And matter of fact, those frames, you can see in the back of me, there's two pictures of that last shot on my wall. So, you know, wow. I grew up in Indiana. Basketball was huge, of course, still is. It was single class basketball back then. So one of my favorite movies is Hoosiers, for good reason. So, you know, it's just a dream come true. Our atmosphere, Cedarville, is very special. It was just instant humanity on the floor. And, you know, it was movie type stuff. And mentioning that too, Brandon, there was no videotape of that game. Games were videoed here and there. We have an audio broadcast of it from CDR Radio, but there's no video of that, just some still pictures. So there's my highlight of my competitive career.
Yeah, that's a great memory. I'd love to hear the audio of that call sometime. You have to share
the last shot.
Yeah, yeah. Now, after graduating in 1983, you became Cedarville's first sports information director. I'm curious, did the school post the open position and you saw it and applied, or did you go to them, convince them that they needed one, and you were the guy for it? What's the story with that?
Sure. You're right. I graduated in 83. I was class of 82, and I had changed my major. I started off in broadcasting, believe it or not, and I changed my major to mathematics. So that's what my degree is in. You know, people have asked me, well, why'd you change your major? I wasn't super interested in the broadcast law, broadcast sales, and I just wanted to do sports, and math came easy to me. Cedarville at the time was on academic quarters. We were in 10-week quarters, fall, winter, spring. So in my opinion, it was easier to change majors, but it took me an extra year. My wife and I had gotten married before my senior year. She was she had graduated before I did at Cedarville. So all that to say, you know, Coach Callen, Don Callen, hopefully your listeners know who he is. And Coach is still doing well at age 90 and helping me on our video stream broadcast still. Wow. He was the athletic director, and he just he brought it up to me, really. I was a painter for our maintenance department, believe it or not, on the side while I was finishing up. He said, hey, we're going to want to hire a full timer. Well, full time was 9 months a year and $1,000 a month. That's what I got paid, $9,000. Wow. He said, are you interested? And I didn't know what I didn't know. I just thought, you know, I can communicate halfway decently. I was already doing some sports on CDR radio with our broadcast at the time. And so, yeah, there really wasn't an application. They decided to hire me in the fall of 1983. And I just dove in, really didn't know what I was doing. And I know we're going to get into that later, that it was a lot different doing sports info back then. And really a lot of schools didn't have full-time SIDs. Cedarville didn't. I was the first. And still am the first full-time SID. We just had part-timers that did what you had to do.
Right.
And so that's how I hooked on as the SID.
Now in 2000, you were the recipient of the Clarence Ike Pearson Award, which recognizes outstanding achievement in the sports information field. And then in 2001, you were inducted into the Cedarville University Athletic Hall of Fame. How special was it for you to be honored with that kind of recognition?
Yeah, very special. Two different things there. First, at the Ike Pearson Award. Never met Ike Pearson, but you know, when I started again, I didn't know what I was doing. It was just learning on the job, and there were some veteran SIDs who the three names I want to mention, they've all passed away. Walt McAlexander used to be at Lubbock Christian. A guy by the name of Gary Spittler. He was at what's now North Carolina Pembroke. And then a local guy by the name of Don Perkins, he was at Wittenberg University. And just talking with these guys and other veterans of the SID field back then, you know, when I started hearing guys who had been SIDs for 20, 25, 30, wow. You know, I'm just a 23-year-old kid at the time. And those three especially helped me out. So to be honored as one of the best SIDs in NAIA, that was, you know, very, very humbling. Certainly give God all the glory for that opportunity. And then in our Hall of Fame, you know, it's funny, I'm actually on our Hall of Fame committee, and this was kind of done behind my back, shall we say. But, you know, it's on my plaque, not only playing basketball and golf, but I think I take more satisfaction in being recognized as the SID, which is on my plaque as well. because, you know, I've had the ambition to have a high standard for what we do here and to be recognized for that. Humbling, and give all praise to the Lord.
You just kind of touched on this a little bit, that not only were you the first sports information director or full-time, but you've also been the only sports information director at Cedarville, right. Having been on the job for 40 years in your 41st year currently. What has that journey been like for you, navigating the different decades, technology, and then all the growing expectations along the way?
That's a good question. I was cutting edge when I started because I had an electric typewriter, and a lot of the listeners have probably maybe seen those in a museum somewhere. And so, yeah, as things have changed, I have had to change with that. Obviously, at one time, the fax machine was cutting edge. I remember going to the COSIDA convention in Denver in the mid 90s, and a guy was talking about the World Wide Web and the internet. And, you know, that was just all foreign to us in the room. So from that to live stats, to video, to social media, it's just been like everything else in life, a constant change and making adjustments to that as well. As you know, sports now is real time. Everything is real time. And so when I started, I had some sports. I literally just showed up and sat in the bleachers because stats were kept on the bench for the most part. Soccer, baseball, softball. We had statisticians for basketball. We had no PAs for baseball, softball. Matter of fact, softball was slow pitch my first year as SID.
Wow.
And so things were just done much differently. A game was done. I'm getting the book, the stats, calling a newspaper. And that has all changed. And now we don't even call the newspapers or TV stations anymore. So just having to make those adjustments and being willing to be versatile and do a lot of things and try to get the information out as quickly and the best we can. That's been the biggest thing, is making those adjustments through the years. Technology has by far been the biggest game changer.
Now, as an SID, how do you try to incorporate faith into what you do, and how has that evolved over the years?
Yeah. You know, at Cedarville, it should come naturally. We have an athletics mission. We have a vision statement. And, you know, I humbly say that I think Cedarville is, we have a unique voice in now what's NCAA Division II. And we think we're somewhat unique in the NCCAA. And I don't say that with pride. It's all to God's glory. But the one thing that I've appreciated at Cedarville is that the mission has not changed, and it's not going to, and especially within our athletic department, thanks to Don Callan and others who've preceded him and followed him. So, you know, personally, it's how I carry myself around others, around other SIDs. We don't interact as much as we used to because nobody travels as much as we used to because of the video stream thing. But as far as sharing the gospel, it's promoting who Cedarville is that gets that message out, really, through still pictures, through video, through interviews, through featuring our kids, our coaches. And that's how we get the message out about our faith and who we are. And hopefully that's made a difference in people's lives. I think it has made a difference in opponents' lives, even back when I played. The way we did it when I played was when we would host a team at Cedarville after the game, we fed the other team and we interacted with them that way. Now that's, you know, that's changed over time. There's prayer with opponents after the games and how our athletes, that's a totally different interview of how our athletes share the gospel with their opponents. But I know that's kind of under one big umbrella, but that's how I have tried to do it and focus on that and how we try to do it at Cedarville.
Yeah, that's great. What advice do you have for young SIDs just starting out in the business of college athletics?
Well, I've joked over the years that if you like sports, you don't mind giving up your nights and weekends and eating food that's probably not super healthy, then maybe being a sports information director is for you. But, you know, All that to say, it's challenging to do it right, but it is a profession of serving others. And in a lot of ways, you know, that's pretty biblical. Trying to be a servant leader as best that I can. Of course, the sports information field, it's a communication field. So that is key, both internally and externally. And, you know, you have to be able to communicate in a lot of different ways and do it well. To be versatile, you're going to be wearing a number of different hats. And, you know, the unfortunate thing, Brandon, about our profession, a lot of people are leaving sports information. We're typically underpaid, understaffed, overworked in a lot of ways. So I think a key for a young SID is that you have to certainly set some boundaries of what you want to accomplish, because you can get buried in a hurry. So that was a priority for me. Whatever I did, I wanted to do it well and not overextend myself. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be 50, 60, sometimes there's 70 plus hour weeks to get the job done, because you just have to do whatever you have to do to get it done. There's certain deadlines that we have to meet. And, but it can be very satisfying to do this profession. I think one of the biggest keys for any SID, really, young or old, is you need to have a good advocate within the profession and a good advocate at home. So I've been blessed to work with some great people here. I've worked for four athletic directors, and that's who I answer to. Unfortunately, I read, you know, and hear stories of SIDs or run-ins with administration and coaches and players, parents, and that kind of thing. I've been blessed not to have that, but to have an advocate who is on my side and understood the value of sports information, that's been a key. At home, my wife has just been a Hall of Famer herself. You know, we have three daughters. They're married now. They're all moms. We have six grandkids. And I started this profession before our oldest was born. And so that's all they've known. And so, you know, there's a lot of times where my wife is tucking in the girls herself at night, giving them baths herself, going to a elementary school program that I had to miss, and such great support at home, because I'm not sure everybody has that as well. So that may be as important as any of the nuts and bolts of being a sports information director, is having that support in the profession and at home.
That's great advice. Well, that's all the time we have, but thank you, Mark, for joining us on King Chasing today.
Appreciate the opportunity, Brandon. Thanks for your work, and we're thankful for the NCCAA.
Thanks again to Mark for sharing about his time at Cedarville as a student athlete and SID, how his job has changed over the past 40 years, and how he incorporates faith into his role. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.